everybody, it's the Great Debate.
Yes!
Guys, I'm excited to announce that we're doing another Blood Boil.
Yeah! Temps are rising.
It's summer, it's hot out, it's hot inside as well.
Is anybody out there, did anybody out there fist bump the roof of their car when they heard that it's a blood boil?
No.
Probably.
Yeah, somebody. Are you trying to get me riled up by suggesting that?
The fans out that, there.
That the podcast
that. We have
is
thousands
good.
Of fans who love this show. Admit it.
Most people don't remember that episode.
Dirty tactics.
It's really the same as usual. It's not special. Some people probably are like, no, do the regular thing.
Guys, my blood pressure is rising because we don't have a lot of time.
Okay, yeah.
You're right.
So let's get right into the debate.
What do we need to do?
So here's the situation. You've both got blood pressure cuff monitors that we got on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We bought the cheapest ones, so we don't know how accurate
blood
they
pressure
are.
Monitors. Yeah.
Nevertheless, you're both using the same one, so there's some consistency there. Now, you just took a baseline reading of your blood pressure. Do you want to tell us what that is?
Yes.
Steve?
Mine was 107 over 70, pulse 75.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I was coming out a little hot. Mine was 123 over 87 with a pulse of 81.
Wow. Those are both normal readings.
Are they?
Yeah, 120-ish over 80 is a normal reading, as is 106 over whatever.
So far today I've had an Americano, a bunch of Prosecco, and some bacon and eggs, basically, at Taroni.
All over the map.
Yeah.
Chia pudding something with almond and fruit from République.
Wow. You went to République today?
Esther went and she brought me back.
We almost went there, but it was too crowded.
Yeah, she waited it out. Well, this is not getting anyone's blood boiling.
No, it's calming.
It's getting my blood
to think
boiling.
About Esther having a nice brunch.
Yeah.
What could be more soothing?
Okay, I've got a topic for Dave to take the pro on. We're going to do all these 4 minutes, all right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're not going to have a lot of time for chit-chat in between. But what we're going to do is after each debate, we're going to take a reading, compare that to the baseline, and then we'll announce who won the debate and then who won the blood boil as sort of separate prizes.
Boiling your opponent's blood.
Yes. Whoever increases the blood pressure over the baseline amount by the largest number wins the blood boil. Okay, here we go, guys. Dave King taking the pro. Steve and Dave are best friends.
I mean, I have to argue this.
Yeah.
Who in my life, who in my friends do I see more? I know that, like, the obvious answer is that Esther's my best friend because we live together and we're in love. And on some level, that may be true, but that's not true. Healy and I are best friends because he's a true friend. We've known each other about as long as friends go back. He's the guy I text with about as much as anyone else. I have love for him in my heart. I wish him well. We, along with Medina, have entered into this Great Debates ship. And we're co-stewards of this situation. And every time we see each other, we love each other so dearly that we want to give each other hugs. And there's no one else in my life that is as true a friend as Healy is.
Okay, we are not even close to best friends. You piss me off constantly. You let me down all the time. You are a disappointment frequently. In the Great Debates project that we work on together, it's mainly, I would say my main emotional feeling is frustration with your failure to live up to your end. I think you're better friends with Etten, probably with Co, probably with Hubbard, probably with
That's
Joe
crazy.
Mandy. There's a million of these guys.
I mean, I text with you way more. I see you so much more than Kevin or Co. By the way, what do best friends do?
I think we're trapped in like a codependency.
Best
definitely.
Friends have more of a brotherly relationship than anything. Like a lot of best friends, especially among males, like, yeah, I am going to let you down. I also think like you're obviously exaggerating the extent to which I've failed you. Like we've done 140 episodes of this thing or whatever it is. It's not like I'm some huge burden to you because I, sometimes don't come up with topics like what
you lost the only money we ever made from this podcast.
I didn't lose it.
You set up a merch store that's like totally defunct and pisses off all our customers. You never respond to our super fans who are like, I bought a shirt and it never got delivered.
I did respond to those super fans. It took me a long time. I responded to the people who had a problem with the orders. I don't like dealing with the, I also got the st- store fucking up and running, man. Like, and I did that because I love you and because we're friends. Like, I'm the one who took the time to enter all the bank information, all that shit, and design the shirts. I coordinated all the logos with Dan Williams, who did an awesome job. Like, yeah, I let you down occasionally, but I haven't let you down more so than my other friends. Like, also, like, what do you want from me, man? Like, what do you... Who's your best friend if it's not me? That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know. Maybe, like, Boyle or somebody else.
I don't buy
work.
That at all. Like, if you can't say instantly... When I said
Renshaw,
to you... just
Volley,
proved it right
Volley.
Now. No, see, the fact that you didn't write away... When I was like, who's your best friend if it's not me? You were like, I don't know. Boyle,
well, there's
Renshaw,
several
Volley.
Options, it's you know?
Well, there aren't... That's not what a best friend is. Like, if you had said... If you would instantly be like, Volley's my best friend. But no, your mind had to go to like weird places where you were like, I guess Boyle or Renshaw, like three people who probably offer very different kinds of friendships to you. Ask me who's my best friend. It's Steve Healy. You goddamn right it is. I see the guy every week. We hang out constantly. I love him. Like, we know more about each other's interior lives than anyone else, except for my significant other, who I'm excluding from qualification for whatever. Like, I don't know how you could say we're not best friends. I think it's time for you to face the facts that, like, even if I've let you down a little bit, that's because we're best friends. And because it hurts you so much, that's what best friends do. When a best friend lets you down, it really gets under your skin. If I were a casual friend of yours and I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry, I forgot to bring the equipment today or whatever hypothetical bullshit thing, which I haven't done, you'd be like, oh, yeah, it's fine. That's fucking king. I mean, whatever. We're not even best friends. So that's fine. But when your best friend lets you down, it cuts you on a deeper level. That's why you're so worked up.
I think that I was trying to trap you in being...
No, that's the clock.
Okay.
Please
you failed.
Take,
whatever you're trying to do, you failed.
Well, let's see when we get the blood
numbers.
Please take
your measurements, gentlemen.
Yeah, okay. What was your idea here?
I thought you'd get mad because you want it to be like Craig or something, and you'd be getting mad that this was the truth, that we are best friends.
What? Very confusing.
Let's see if it got your blood going.
I mean,
talking during your measurement will make it be higher.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it makes for a pretty bad podcast radio if we're not talking at all.
Okay, there's something
we didn't
that.
Think of that.
Once again, truly hate the sensation of having my blood pressure.
Okay, I did get an increase.
Makes me so uncomfortable. Arguably, my it's going up. Oh, doctor. Okay.
Oh, doctor, indeed.
Okay, I'm going to announce the winner of the debate now, which is King.
Fair.
Great.
King kind of pummeled you, heels.
I'll say.
Next time I'm going to announce the winner during the
meeting.
Yeah,
that's good.
Oh, smart.
That would be good. That
very
would cover
smart.
Up some of the loose air we have here.
Yeah, the time when there's nobody talking, that could maybe be full of analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have, folks?
Well, mine went up to 147 over 103.
Wow.
That's an increase of 24 and 16. And my, what's it called? Pulse went up 10 to 91.
Okay, I went up 5 to 112. And my other number went up 12 to 82. My pulse went down.
What?
To 72.
It's just impossible to do this with you.
Why? How's that?
Because you're unflappable and nothing really
That's
bothers
your job.
You that much.
Of course. I'm a human. There's ways to bother me. Keep them coming.
All right. Well, let's hear the next topic. It bothers me that you don't even get like worked up enough about this stuff to get your blood pressure raised. Like, that's the whole spirit of this thing is good, engaging debate.
There's a key, to, you just gotta unlock it, you know? And it's not my job to figure that out for you.
So Healy wins the first frame of Blood Boil.
Okay.
Let's take another...
The stats.
He wins the stats.
I won the debate.
Healy wins the first Blood Boil, though, but you won the first debate. So here's another one. Also going to be... No, this is going to be a Healy pro.
Okay.
I've got 4 minutes on the clock. Clear your monitors, please. Meet Me in the Bathroom is a failure as a book.
Okay, Dave and I just read we both read a book that Dave recommended to me. It's called Meet Me in the Bathroom. It's by Lizzie Goodwin. No knock on her. But the book is about 800 pages long, and it is completely formless. The topic, subject of the book, nominally is like rock music in New York City in the early 2000s, but it also covers Kings of Leon. It covers the White Stripes. They go to London for a while. They interview everybody who was tangentially attached to this scene. The book is in the form of an oral history, which is like the shaggiest and simplest way to construct a book. And frankly, we're tired of them. But look, it was cool. I'm glad that I read some of it because I learned a couple interesting stories about a time that I was sort of like around in New York, but mostly I think the book was a sloppy mess. And I'm mad at Dave for recommending it. And I think Dave recommended it and then realized it wasn't that good of a book.
Not at all. I recommended it and then continued to talk to you about the interesting things within the book. It is so odd to me that your complaint about the book is that the scope of it is too broad. I guarantee you, if you have any familiarity with the band, with just like the Strokes and Interpol and Yeah Yeah Yeahs, that you will understand the references or like know the music of 95% of the bands that are referenced.
You'll be
in
diverted on a whole chapter about like some people who are throwing some parties at a club. There's a whole section about James Murphy's personal life. Who cares? That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
There's sections about everyone's personal lives. They're trying to give you the full story of all of these bands and the members of the band.
That's exactly the problem. You can't do the full story of scenes worth of bands at a time. Like, there's a whole chapter about September 11th. There's long interviews with guys who worked at MTV. Has nothing to do with anything.
It's about the changing music business. September 11th. From 2000.
Any book about anything would be equally good as this one. I will give credit to Lizzie Goodwin. She's a thorough reporter, interviewed a lot of people. But if you just interviewed a lot of people about San Diego in the 1970s, you'd have an equally interesting book if you had lived in San Diego in the 1970s. You know, it's nothing. That's a pile of information, not a book.
Okay, but the idea that first of all, so far what you've said is the author did a good job of interviewing people. She collected her information in a thoughtful way, and you're glad that you read it because it was cool. That to me proves that it is a success as a book. It also is a huge bestseller. Also, her name is Lizzie Goodman and not Lizzie Goodwin, which to me suggests that maybe you weren't paying as close attention as you should to the content of the book if you couldn't even understand the person's name properly. The idea that like somehow it's formless, you keep introducing all these different chapters. You actually have shown that you have great recall for the subject matter. Yeah, there's subjects about parties. There's subjects about James Murphy. There's subject about September 11th. Of course there are. It's about New York in the early 2000s. If there were not a chapter about the effect of September 11th on anything relating to New York in the early 2000s, that would be a glaring omission, and that would be a failure of the author. Like it takes up 2/3 of the book. It's done in a thoughtful way. You move on right after that. It deals with the way that like people want it. I found it very interesting. Again, I go back to like the scope of the book. If anything, to me, is too limited. Like, I was ready for her to dig a little deeper and go like, you may not have heard of these bands, but that's what was going on at the time. I was able to like, again, I'm not a big music, whatever you call it, musicophile, whatever, but I was able to picture all of these places, all of these bands. Yeah, there's a chapter about Kings of Leon because they toured with the Strokes. I didn't know that. That was interesting. Yes, there's stuff about the White Stripes because they and the Strokes did a big show at Radio City. It felt sort of like they were competitive, but also they were doing it together. I found that whole thing interesting. Who was backstage? What were people's impressions of it? What did people think of Meg White as a drummer? All of those things. If I liked fucking San Diego in the 70s, then I'd like a book about it too.
Okay,
just sit there sipping coffee for the last 2 minutes because you don't even give a shit. Is this your tactic, just to like not say a word and get me riled up because you're just tanking it?
Measurement number two, please.
Sorry.
Measurement number two.
Healy,
I actually like the book. I enjoyed reading it.
Yeah, I want to ask Gittman's you, cool. Who do you think won that debate? Healy. Healy.
Sorry.
Who do you think won that debate?
Well, Dave clock management was just off. He did most of the talking, but I think I'm going to come in very mellow and Dave's going to come in really agitated. I mean, the best way to get Dave agitated is to let him talk himself into agitation.
That's true.
So you're saying you may have tried to win the blood boil by throwing the debate?
I'm only going for the blood boil.
Here's your problem with that strategy is that I got worked up in the first one. I don't think we're going to see a big increase.
Could be.
Could be wrong.
Okay, I got my number. I went up a insignificant 1 point in blood pressure 4 points in the under blood pressure. Pulse went up 1 unit to 76.
Okay. This is in from baseline?
From baseline, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, from baseline or yeah. From yeah, the first
from
thing?
Baseline,
from baseline.
From baseline.
I mean, if you want to do from last debate, I went down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Same. I went down. I returned to my baseline pulse. Huh. I, by the way, feel like pulse is probably the best indicator of like actually getting
interesting
someone worked up because these fucking things aren't measuring your blood pressure that accurately. But I basically maintained my blood pressure from the first one and my pulse went down.
Okay, all right. Maybe that was a bit of a bust of a debate.
So you were a plus 24 on blood pressure over baseline?
I was still plus 25, yeah. But then for the, what's it
but
called?
But your
the
pulse is
one,
net zero.
For the second one, I was only plus 5. What are they called? Systolic and
DIA, diametric.
Diastolic.
Diastolic.
Well, we are all doctors.
Don't you think being a doctor should be a lot easier? Like that most doctor stuff can be done by somebody who's had 1 year of training.
Ooh.
Well, I mean,
like a nurse.
I think there should be something between nurse and doctor that's like low doctor, basically.
See, I think there's so much like chemistry and biology going on in the background that lets them be like, oh yeah, you have a cold, like take two and call me in the morning.
Yeah.
That like you actually do really need. And so it's just a making it look easy thing.
I think I could study for 6 weeks.
Going for the doctor vote here.
And be able to do 80% of the stuff a doctor does, which is like sorting out what you have and sending you to a specialist.
That's probably true, but you could also say the same for like an airline pilot.
But
I would never let you behind me. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That to me is like the reason you're absolutely right. But the reason that these people are professionals are for the 5 to 20% of times that
exactly.
You really need expertise and a deeper level of understanding.
Yeah. Well, now I'm thinking about whether I could fly a plane tomorrow if I had until tomorrow to study.
No.
No, probably
I think
not.
I could get it off the ground and landed.
I think you could keep it flying once it was in the air, but neither the start or the finish.
The
could
start
you.
Is you just turn the throttle way up, then you pick up.
I mean, just promise me you won't try.
I promise I won't try to fly a plane to Boston tomorrow.
To Boston?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well. All right. What's next?
So. Sorry, just to clarify, Healy, your pulse went up plus 1.
Yeah, off baseline or off the previous
off baseline?
One? Yeah.
And King, your pulse is up.
Well, that time it was up 25 off baseline, but again, I feel like we need to be consistent here.
Pulse or blood pressure?
Oh, sorry. My pulse stayed the same from baseline.
Oh.
And which means that it came down from
episode 1. Okay.
When Healy said that I was a huge failure to him as a human being. That was hurtful. What have I done?
Okay, I've got another debate for King to take the pro on.
Okay. Making King take the pro is a...
Right.
It's vexing.
I'm going to try to win the blood boil this time.
Good.
Okay. I'm going to try to be cool.
Great.
Okay. The debate is Margaret sucks.
Margaret sucks. Margaret is...
Say who Margaret is.
You don't have to tell me what to do.
Okay.
Healy, I got this. Margaret is Healy's cat. Margaret is a little shit who just walks around, offers no kind of love or companionship. Margaret is boring. Healy, in the past, has described his relationship with Margaret as fraught and tense. Which
that's
is
not true. When did I say that?
Opposite.
I said we're chill roommates.
No, you said that there were like, you guys look at each other and there's sort of an understanding that it's best to keep your distance.
Mm. Well, she's a cat.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people, right. And I think that a lot of cats suck. Margaret is one of them. Cats, first of all, I'm allergic to Margaret. A lot of people are allergic to Margaret. That sucks. Margaret creates problems for you in your life because you need to manage Margaret. You need to figure out if you're going away, who's going to take care of Margaret, who's going to let her out. Basically, she's a net negative on your life. She offers nothing in the way of either beauty or companionship. It's not like I've never seen you once pet Margaret in a way that most humans have an interaction with their pet. I've never once heard you say, I miss Margaret. Also, her temperament is like not even bad, but just kind of boring. Like she brings nothing to the table. If she were a person, she would be the most nondescript person. You'd have to describe her six times before someone went, oh, Margaret, right. Like, there's no, like, you'd have to be like, you know, she's orange, she's 11 inches long, tail. Sometimes she goes from the kitchen to the living room. There's nothing. I can't think of one interesting or good thing about Margaret since I've met her.
Okay, let me, I like picking up on the idea that if Margaret were a person, mm-hmm. that's great. Okay, if Margaret were a person, she was basically born in the gutter and has raised herself up to be civilized and to live in a home, which right there is an accomplishment.
She didn't pick herself up from her bootstraps. She's a cat.
She is spectacularly beautiful. She's a very pretty cat. She has pretty eyes. She's an orange tabby cat, female, which is quite rare. She's really dexterous and athletic. She can jump over walls and stuff. She once killed a hummingbird, which is an impressive achievement for a housebound cat.
The best story you have about Margaret is that she once killed a hummingbird, which is, by the way, awful.
She's really,
hummingbirds are way more beautiful than Margaret. She's what, now what I'm hearing, she's a murderous like, she's on the lookout for cool, beautiful things, and she strikes them dead.
Having a cat in your home is funny and weird. It's like having a little miniature tiger walking around. Every time a cat walks through the room,
that's funny.
It's bizarre and kind of compelling, and the way they move is graceful, the way they jump and leap is graceful. The fact that they sleep half the day is kind of interesting. It's cool to have a life form that's on their own trip in your house.
I just want to take a moment to acknowledge one of your arguments about why Margaret doesn't suck is that just the fact that they sleep half the day is kind of interesting. This is the most boring statement I've ever, that defines sucking. She sleeps half the day, and even that is only kind
that's
of interesting.
That's natural, normal, and relaxed for a cat. That's good. That's what you want in a cat. Are we judging her as a cat or as a what? I think if we're judging her as a cat, she's doing an excellent job. If we're judging her as a Margaret, there's no better Margaret in the world. She's the Margaret. She's a great addition to my home.
Every Margaret,
she doesn't stress anybody out.
You're
allergic to her, but she comes over and she's fine.
Margaret
the cat is better than Margaret Cho.
That's crazy.
Margaret Cho annoys and irritates a lot of people.
Oh my God.
And is very needy.
So off base. Margaret Cho has, by the way, like, I mean, everyone hopefully understands that Margaret Cho is one of, like, a trailblazer who has not, who only recently has gotten her due as someone who has been, oh, damn. I mean, how many Asian American actresses have headlined a network show? Margaret Cho.
Mm. Debate's over, bud. Get your measurement.
I'm wondering if really the way to go wouldn't have been to say that blood boil points are equal to debate points in the competition.
Somehow it's weighted oddly.
You know what I mean?
Like, but Dean, what do you think of that debate?
You shouldn't be able to throw the debate. A lot of the things that Dave said resonated with me about Margaret.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sucking part.
Just the, like, the part that was the most sort of like... vivid for me was when Margaret goes from the kitchen to the living room back, because that's
the most interesting thing.
That is the most of what she does. I would argue having an interesting cat is not good. You want a everyday, boring, sustainable cat, which is what I have.
I feel like that Margaret has like a sort of a look on her face that is very kind of like, yeah, I
totally
can't wait for you to leave.
Yeah, she's not psyched about anybody coming over. And cats in general are like, they have no gratitude, no affection.
Awful.
They're not going to come running
they
over and
loving
you.
You. I've never once seen you touch Margaret.
That's not true. You know, that's not true.
Okay, so I'd like to report my results, which either I've mastered the art of the blood boil or these things are not accurate at all.
Okay.
My blood pressure went from 123 over 87 baseline to 82 over,
what?
Over 61.
We got to sue Omron IntelliSense.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
My pulse dropped to 62.
What? You almost died.
I don't know. I mean, that's
very,
what it says.
You need to get to the hospital.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Okay.
You bored yourself so much in that debate, you're going to die.
That's sad. Keely, how'd you do?
Well, my pulse, or my blood pressure went up a lot.
Yeah.
It's up at 123, which is 16 points off baseline.
So boring, the numbers part of this.
Pulse stayed about the same, 76.
Yeah.
So wait, I'm sorry. Let's have a recap there.
Oh, God.
My blood pressure went way up to 123 from 107.
So Davis won the blood boil.
Yeah.
And
he got my blood a-boiling.
And he might have won the debate.
I would say probably.
I'd give him the debate. He created a pretty vivid picture.
Yeah. So, Healy, have you even won a debate yet?
Maybe not.
Hmm. How's that strategy working out for you?
I'm having fun.
The thing is, he's won every blood boil, so it was tied, but you just got the double whammy.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's nice.
So now you
so
need
now what
another...
do I need to do to win?
I'm just happy to be debating with my best friend.
What do I need to do?
Best friend, non-Esther division.
Okay.
Don't you think Craig's a better friend of yours?
Let's do one more tiebreaker debate.
Oh, okay. One more?
By the way, I want to do a shout out, a thank you to listener Robert O, who's influenced the show positively in that on Twitter, he let me know how to mute the button, the timer.
Oh, cool. Shout out. That's huge for us.
Thank you, Robert, listener Robert O, for that. I appreciate that very much. Okay, here's the final topic.
Yep.
In our
this is
boil.
All the marbles. This debate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I believe is that it's sort of in 1 point for King in either category wins it for King.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So this is like Ryder Cup where the
so I need to win the debate and keep it chill.
And you need to win the blood boil.
You need to run the table.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Dave taking the pro again. That's good for you, Healy, I think, right?
Could be.
Who knows?
A topic up for debate. We should respect President Donald Trump.
I mean, he's the president of the United States.
Yeah, boring.
The truth is that we should respect all people. We need to treat people with respect regardless of whether we love them or whether we hate them to the core of our being. That doesn't mean that you have to be even civil or that you can't be profane when speaking about him. What it means is that you have to treat anyone with whom you have fierce disagreements with some level of respect. Otherwise, you are not going to change anyone's mind. You're not going to treat people with the dignity that they deserve. You're not going to treat people humanely. And if you don't do those things, if you don't operate on some level of kindness and respect, even for the people with whom you think are truly ruining the world, if you're not able to find love, believe it or not, in your heart for the most monstrous of people, the people who make your life the most difficult, then you're only going to be hurting yourself, and it's not the way to operate.
Can you wake me up when you're done?
Well, I'm trying to win the blood boil.
And by being boring?
I think I've made a lot of cogent points.
You made a very, very boring argument so far. It's tedious. It's not getting my blood going at all.
My argument is not meant to be
Dave's
exciting.
Dog Donut is a bad girl. She is very naughty. She is not a shelter dog.
What are you talking
I don't know
you're
where they got
the
Donut.
Topic?
Okay, let's talk about Donald Trump and respect. You get respect by giving respect. Donald Trump has been slowly, you know, he's a life of giving disrespect to reporters, to women, to rivals in business, to minority groups, the Central Park Five. This is a guy whose career is built on giving disrespect. He gave disrespect to President Barack Obama and launched his career basically questioning his place of birth, an act of insane disrespect and dishonesty. It was an act of disrespect to our whole democratic system. I believe you have to respect the office of the president, which Donald Trump inhabits. And, you know, I'm not going to punch him in the face if I see him, but I don't think that we owe him any more respect than he gives to others, which is a minimal amount. And I think we should hit him as hard as possible.
Healy, paraphrasing the great Michelle Obama when she said, when they go low, we go even lower. Obviously, that is not the way to behave as people. If people
By the
don't
way,
show respect
the Michelle
to you,
Obama said that, you know, when they go low, we go high, and Donald Trump kept going lower and won the election as Hillary presumably
this
went
This is not
high.
An argument about efficacy of style.
Of
this
highness
is an
and
argument
lowness.
Of whether also, yes, she said that Donald Trump went lower and lower and then proceeded to get 3 million fewer votes than his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not arguing about how well he did with his style of venom. And yes, like, I just don't believe this idea that just because someone doesn't show respect to other people that you therefore don't need to, or that you should not show respect to them.
I don't because have to respect the guy. I think that he's a clod. I think that he's cruel. Everyone I think he's a bully. I think he's everyone a liar. So I don't have to respect him. He's not according with the ways that we
I'm actually going to play this through on a different level. Respect. The same, like, the way to actually treat Donald Trump with respect is to give him, like, give him, what's the phrase, his due process. He deserves to be, like, we can basic, what I'm getting at is, like, he should be impeached. We should hold a trial. We should treat him with respect. We should put all the information out there that everyone has gathered. And the respectful thing to do is to remove him from office by process of impeachment, which is in itself may feel like a mean or nasty thing to do, but that's the respectful way to deal with the president of the United States when he's doing things that are illegal.
Counterpoint, we should throw rotting vegetables at him. He deserves that, and his degrading of our system merits that.
You don't believe that.
I mean, I think it would be satisfying.
Right.
But very difficult to debate to judge.
Arguably not a very good debate.
No, everybody was trying to win the blood boil. And it's interesting to hear the restraint in your voices and no one's willing to get worked up.
It is distracting to be checking in on your inner systems every so often as you're trying to have a serious debate. Okay, all right.
Sometimes you have to remember not to throw out the baby with the blood boil. What? It's almost clever.
Almost the thing.
Medina, what'd you think?
I don't know. I feel like it's coming down to me here.
Whoa. Okay, my results are in.
I thought it was an interesting point that you made about the impeachment as the respectful process.
I did too.
I thought Dave's whole argument
his beginning argument was just
very boring.
I just was like checking to my watch.
Civics lesson.
I was trying to treat our listeners with respect.
Yeah, well, they respect you when you entertain them.
Healy, I thought that for today you made a good argument there without getting... I thought that was... You treaded the line between not wanting to get excited, but you made a decent argument.
Thanks very much, Dan.
I'm going to give it to Healy.
I thought you sucked.
So what do we have here, gentlemen?
Okay, my blood pressure is 14 points up off baseline to 121. The diastolic is about the same. Pulse actually went down, 73.
Pulse. Okay.
What was your baseline pulse?
75.
So...
Okay. You must have gone up because you were almost passing out in your last one, right?
Yeah, my numbers went way up from the last one, and they even went up from baseline. I mean, something's wrong with these things. They went up. I'm at 151 over 97.
What
over
a jump.
Okay, but there's no way that I'm both, that 5 minutes ago I was 82 or 61 and now
maybe
I'm...
Maybe you got worked up when I talked about donut.
I think we need next year to do this in a with doctor.
Absolutely. We need a low... Well, we don't want to hire a full doctor, so we'll hire a low-level doctor. Yeah.
That's what you're calling?
Yeah.
How much study is a low doctor?
A low doctor does 2 years and then 1 year of practical...
Isn't that what a nurse is?
No, the nurse is just sort of like, I don't know what a nurse does. I mean, I know they do a lot of stuff, but why shouldn't nurses, for one thing, it'd be cool if a lot of nurses were called doctor.
I guess. I mean, I wish we called everybody doctor.
A low doctor is, you can put doctor in front of your name, but in lowercase.
Low doctor.
All right. That's cool.
Healy wins.
Hooray!
Such horseshit.
The blood boil was a success.
Technical win with more points.
What about a tiebreaker if the blood boil was a success?
What about a tiebreaker where I'd take you out in the backyard and we just wrestled?
That's what best friends do.
Yeah.
Well, guys, very fun to conduct another blood boil. I hope you all enjoyed it. And write us letters and tweets and stuff about your fun blood pressure anecdotes.
And get your blood pressure checked, guys.
Yeah.
This is really about blood pressure hypertension awareness.
I forgot to mention we're sponsored by the American Heart Association, the American Medical Association, the Mayo Clinic. That's why we do this, is to get the word out.
In the last year, my blood pressure's gone down significantly.
Congrats, bud.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I attribute that to eating better and drinking less. So.
Mm.
you know, changes we can all make easily.
Straight up good.
Okay, guys, have a great week. We'll see you next week on Great Debates. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Carosello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Julie and Dave King. And the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.